This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy New Year. Is that your first Happy New Year? I'm Mike Shope. Bulldog is off today. The Bills, what? Roll over the New York Jets 40-14. As you no doubt saw or heard or both, it was 40-0 early in the fourth quarter, and this game could not have been more over. Well before that. The closest the Jets got to anything was, it was 7-0, I guess. That back-to-back plays where Rodgers could have handed the ball off on the RPO to Braylon Allen for an easy first down, doesn't, keeps it, could have scrambled for a first down, doesn't, throws it at the feet of a tight end and then, throws his hands up like has become a trademark move. Enough. And, it's about time I said this. Enough about the Jets. So what is the situation? Some of you are going to be into like the nuts and bolts of this game, I suppose. I'm not so much, but there's definitely a lot to talk about. Some of you are going to be into the MVP conversation. I am too. I think it's over, but maybe it isn't. I have thought for a few weeks that it was, and then it got closer in the betting markets, which don't necessarily reflect like how voters are going to vote themselves. So there's that to talk about. And number one is the playoff picture. Maybe number two is, or it could have been. Number two could have been what to do next week. But I don't think there's really anything to wonder about when it comes to next week. Josh Allen will start. This is me talking, my prediction. Josh Allen will start at the Patriots next week. It'll be a preseason sort of formality kind of thing where he'll play if there were an over-under on this, I would say like 3 snaps, first series of the game, keep the start streak alive. We know that that's important to Allen, and I don't blame him for caring about that. I mean, he's taken a lot of hits, but has just withstood that and been able to be there for the Bills every week. There was even one play today, actually, before I get too far away from this game that just ended. There was the one play where he's in the pocket and somebody grabbed his leg and sort of twisted his leg, and he still gets the ball off and puts it right on Shakir. Like, that was there are so many examples of this, but at least a great example of his strength and just even that happening, he doesn't buckle, he gets the pass off, it's right there, and, that's just sort of typical Josh Allen. So he'll start the game in New England. Maybe this will come up here with Allen and then McDermott here as we get to the locker room. I'm not sure they'll have much to say about what the plan is for next week, though I wouldn't blame them. you know, this is still the post-game show. He plays, he leaves. That's it. And anybody else you want to have sit will, based on their age, based on their, you know, how banged up they are, anything like that, anything close, ties are broken by they don't play next week because it means nothing. I mean, it means something to the Patriots in terms of the draft, but the Bills don't care about that. And we had it happen again today in the NFL where teams that probably should lean toward the higher draft pick, you know, you can't make the players do that. And sometimes you end up where the Giants were today or the Raiders, who both won games that, you know, hurt their draft position. The Giants over the Colts, the Raiders over the Saints. The Raiders game meant nothing to the playoff picture. The Giants game meant something because it takes out Indianapolis. And I might be wrong here. I'm sure somebody will correct me if I am. I think there are three teams the Bills can play in that first playoff game. I don't think the Chargers is a possibility now, because with their win yesterday, I can't get them to the 7 seed. 10-6 at the Raiders next week. They might or might not rest players themselves. They're in with their win yesterday. I think it's Denver. Almost, it's very likely going to be Denver in that game. And I hope that some of you want to talk about that today, because that's really what matters at this point. We'll get back to it. Here's Josh Allen.
How important was it to finish off this number two seed today?
Very important. Not sure what next week brings, but it gives us an option to get certain guys rest, and we'll just kind of go with the flow with whatever Bean and McDermott are telling our guys to do. But still got to prepare like we're trying to go 1-0, and that's our game plan.
Are you a certain guy that would opt for rest next week?
No idea. Again, I'm going to do whatever's asked of me. So yeah, I'll leave it at that. I don't know.
How valuable a day like that where the defense makes so many big plays for you?
That was awesome. Playing on short fields, it makes the game a lot easier. I'll tell you that. Our defense, man, they played lights out today. They had juice, they had energy, and then offensively, I thought we ran the ball well and a couple really, really big plays, especially there in the third quarter. Would love to get off to a faster start, and sustain a couple more drives and a couple penalties that hurt us. So a lot to learn from, but we'll look at it tomorrow and keep moving forward.
Hey, Josh, you went 8-0 and 0-3 this season. You have players, coaches, but how much juice can you get from this environment?
Oh, it's awesome. That's as much as a team stat as a fan base stat too. The energy, I don't think people understand a delay of game or a false start. Like those 5 yards make such a difference, and we can feed off what our fans are giving us, and they've been the best in the league this year. And going back to since I've gotten here, they've been fantastic, and I truly believe we're the best fans in the world.
You don't talk about your stats very often, but they put up 40 touchdowns, 5 straight years. The crowd cheered. It looked like they acknowledged the crowd. Does that mean something to you? It's never been done before, 5 straight years with 40?
Going back to high school, right? Our coach, Coach Magnuson, was always yelling, what's the job of offense? It's to score. So it's a good job that we're scoring. It's kind of all that it means, but I know the crowd was giving me a lot of love today, so I just wanted to reciprocate it a little bit there and tip the cap to them.
Another milestone is this team matched the franchise record for wins in 16 games, 13 wins. What does that mean to have that level of consistency, knowing that you've won 13 games for the third time since 2020?
I mean, it speaks to the staff that we've got here, the guys that we've got in this locker room, how this team's put together, the culture that we have. We didn't really pay attention to the preseason notions, but we heard them and we saw them, and we knew what people were saying, but it had no effect on us. We just came in to training camp and tried to work as hard as we could. And there's another stat I think that we tied today was the most touchdowns caught by different receivers or different players. I believe we got 13, and we got another week to try to get one more. So that's a stat, too, that we talk about a lot. Everybody eats in this offense, and it's a mantra that we've had, and I think that's a testament to that.
What did you see from Keon on that touchdown catch? The athleticism looked like a basketball-type play.
Yeah, I mean, And I got tossed down there late a little bit, and once the ball was in the air, it was kind of, I was pointing at him, and I threw it, and I felt in the corner of my eye Ty Johnson and I think Quincy Williams over there. And I was like, oh, shoot, they're going to be both in the same spot. But that's the reason why we drafted Zero, to go up and make plays like that, and he made a heck of a play.
You were on the sideline already, but what's it like watching the Shavers play?
The joy that our team felt from that was pretty special. He's been a guy that's just continued to get better and work extremely hard. He's a locker room guy. Everybody loves him. From being cut early in after training camp, being on the P squad, being called up, and then to go make a play like that was a special moment for him. But I think it was a special moment for the team because we understand how hard he works, the time that he puts into his craft to learn the playbook. He knows every position, and you can't help but root for a guy that continues to work hard. And we're just happy that he made a play.
Josh, what's the feeling among the team? You guys have accomplished a lot. You've had first place in the East for a while. Now you've got the second seed. What's the overall feeling heading into what's coming?
Again, 1-0 next week. That's all we can focus on.
What about the Kamari play for the touchdown? What'd you see, and then what'd you see when you made that play?
Yeah, we had a little double move. They played post high, and I saw a favorable matchup, and just gave him an opportunity. Too many times this year, I've tried to throw a perfect ball and lead him and get it right in his hands, and just kind of made a concerted effort over the last week or two to give them opportunities, especially him and Zero, give them opportunities on some of these fade balls. And, he just did what Amari does. And it was awesome for him to get to 10,000 career yards. It's a special stat. I don't know how many guys have gotten it, but it can't be too many. But it speaks it speaks about him, how hard he's worked throughout his entire career, and he's still making plays. And I'm glad he's on our team.
Josh, you pointed out the number of different receivers that have had success in this offense, and that obviously stands out, but kind of more open-ended. What's different about this team this year?
I just think we're not to say that we weren't in the past, but it's a different bond, a real sense of tightness and sense of family in this locker room. We're going out there, we're happy for each other's success. We want everybody to succeed, and we want to help do our part. And I think that's from 1 to 53 on this roster, and even going into the P squad. So just a lot of guys that are selfless, that care about their jobs, and just want to play football to the best of their ability.
Last year you guys played in a lot of like really close games that you had to win down the stretch to get to the postseason. Obviously this year is very different, but how do you make sure as a team you stay sharp, just considering that, things have looked so different for the last, and we don't know what next week's going to look like?
Yeah, we just keep trusting what we're doing, how we are preparing week in and week out, and then going on the field and trusting each other and just trying to execute every given play. Hey, guys. Thank you.
Josh Allen and the Bills roll over the Jets to clinch the 2 seed in the AFC playoffs, which means they will be at home 2 weeks from today, give or take a day. Pretty likely they wouldn't play the Monday night, either Saturday or Sunday, 2 weeks off. First, next week, a walkthrough at New England. And we will see what happens there. And Sean McDermott is up and ready.
No, at home, hard to do. It's just special to play here. Our guys understand that, and the history that's been built here over the years, and playing well at home in the red, white, and blue of the Buffalo Bills. So great environment, like I said. A lot of good things. I thought the defense came out and played aggressive, took the ball away, set up the offense, special teams, good sound, quality football overall. The offense got rolling in the second half there, and that was good to see, capitalizing and some red zone opportunities and some takeaway opportunities there that we had. So a lot of game balls went out after the game, as you'd imagine. I think Josh Allen continues to show why he should be the MVP, and just great to see our offense do what they've been able to do here.
John, obviously great day for the offense, but your defense really made the biggest plays of the game, really all day long. You talk about, because it had been a struggle for the last few weeks on that side. Just talk about the big plays today on defense.
Yeah, I thought Coach Babich and the defensive staff did a great job during the week. Players played extremely fast, physical. And then when you play physical and you play fast, the ball tends to come out and to find you. I think the first half, they had a couple long drives, but we had the first series, that fourth down stop. And then the takeaway, I think it was it Greg that tipped it, and then Jordan caught it. Big takeaway in the red zone there, and then just in the second half, I mean, just, you know, they had the ball first, and that was an important drive for us, and then, you know, we forced a punt there, and, you know, just the aggressiveness overall when you get a team in that situation. You know, I felt the combination of the rush and coverage working together, and you know, we were hard to stop up front, which is how it should be. So, yeah.
How about the contribution from Greg Rousseau and the significance, not only today, but throughout the season, kind of sporadic in terms of pass rush, but he's been kind of that one mainstay throughout the year and really had a big game today. What was the significance of his performance today and throughout the whole season, kind of being that rock amongst that group?
Yeah, well, he's one of our best players on defense, and we spoke about that this week. And for us to play well on defense, he's got to play well. And you know, so that's your best players have to play their best week in and week out, and that's how the league is. So the physicality, you know, all those things, run and pass, it can't just be pass game, but it starts at the line of scrimmage and making sure we're winning first down and then getting them into third down situations where we can rush the passer and the coverage and rush can work together. And the same thing, just state of the game when we get up, that's where we got it. The rush and coverage has to continue to work together. And again, I thought the defensive staff led by Bobby did a really good job. Bobby, I thought, caught a great game. And, you know, we got to continue to grow as a defense as we move forward here and on through the playoffs.
Hey, Sean, can you talk a little bit about Christian Benson? It went from 12-0 to 40-0 pretty quick as you're watching that. What is it like to be on the sidelines when all three phases are accomplished?
Yeah, it's fun. It's a lot of fun. It certainly makes my job easier. And I thought it was great to see, you know, CB, that you mentioned, get that pick. Thought he had a chance earlier for one, and to reset and be able to come back and get that pick. Big play for us. And then Milano, I think Ed forced it, and then Milano almost had himself a touchdown. But great recovery and a key play in the game there.
Sean, what did Josh went to it on the podium just before you came in? Said in the preseason we saw the doubts and people doubting this team. We didn't use it as motivation, but we knew that talk was out there. What's it mean to you now to be in week 16 with 13-3 and having the second seed, you know, sewed up, just given what was being talked about back then?
Yeah, you know, it just goes back to guys working hard, working together, being unselfish, coming to work every day, you know, focused on getting the job done, and we know that there's some doubters out there. We knew that earlier in the year, and you know, the team just did a great job of coming together, led by Josh. Coaches have done a phenomenal job of, you know, trying to just adjust week to week, and we've had some injuries, and guys have stepped up too. That's been important for us as well. So I think just the balance of a lot of things overall today. You know, we played a game last week where I felt like we beat ourselves in certain situations, and you guys know I mentioned that, and we didn't play our best football, but we found a way to win, and I think that's important as well when you don't have your best game. And then this game, we knew this was going to be a tough game, and it was. It was mentioned earlier by Ryan, I think 12-0 for, you know, I think most of the game, then we blew it open there. So really that's how the NFL is, and if you can blow it open, you got to make sure you finish it off, and our defense did a phenomenal job.
How important is it to have this second seed wrapped up now and the options it gives you going into next week?
Yeah, it does give us options, and I think that's the key thing for us, Vic, is, you know, we'll see where it takes us. We've got some guys who are hurting a little bit right now and might need some rest, but we'll see. We've got some guys also that we may want to take a look at, you know, whether it be offensively, defensively, or special teams that we're a little bit curious about, that just weren't maybe ready to be active yet. So I think that'll factor in. I'll sit down with Brandon and Terry, and we'll try and make the best decision overall as an organization for everyone involved here. And so anyway, just, you know, it all starts with Josh's leadership. And you know, the question was asked by John of, you know, when Josh comes in and he's set on what he wants to get done, he's hard to stop. And so he came in, you know, in the spring and then again in training camp when he reported back, and it was, you could tell he had a goal in mind, and he's led this team right from the jump.
Sean,
Sean, when you say that, you said he should be the MVP. People look at stats, and he has the numbers. But what else is there about Josh Allen that makes you say he should be, other than he's your quarterback and he should be the MVP?
Well, I mean, stats, you know, I think there's a saying about stats, right? So at the end of the day, Josh Allen's the MVP. I've been around this league long enough to know, to see MVPs every year for many years. And what he has done on this team, in this organization, in this community, and no offense to anybody else, but I've got a hard time believing that someone's done more. I really believe that.
Understanding there's still a lot that you guys want to accomplish as a team, a lot of points during the season we've heard guys on your team say that there's something different about the group. Do you get that sense and do you feel that?
Yes, I do. I think it's more than anything else, they really stick together. And again, it starts with that unselfish approach. Don't get me wrong, we've got guys who get, you know, they're competitive, so they get irritated when they're not the one scoring the touchdowns or getting the ball or, you know, getting the sacks or whatever. And that's kind of natural for competitors, right? But they, at the end of the day, know that at the, you know, what's most important is that the team does well. So it takes a little bit of swallowing their pride from time to time and their ego. But overall, they've bought into that type of approach, which is key for us.
How important was it that you had Cooper going a little bit, if he's one of the people that you wind up resting next week?
Yeah, huge. That was an amazing catch. I mean, great throw by Josh. Just to see Coop go up and get it. He doesn't say much, but again, a highly competitive person, highly competitive player, and he's been a great addition by Brandon to our football team.
Sean, this offense right now looks like it can beat a team in multiple different ways. Is this as good a balance as you've had on that side of the ball kind of heading into the postseason?
I don't know what the numbers say, but I would say, you know, again, just the threat of being a two-dimensional offense makes it hard to stop. When you get, you know, one-dimensional, you get a little bit predictable, and so it makes it harder on the offensive line, makes it harder on everyone. So even today, you know, I think we, in the first half, we weren't winning enough first downs, and so then within that, you become a little bit predictable, right? So winning the line of scrimmage will be key for us moving forward, and I thought today we did a pretty darn good job of that, especially in the second half.
John, you lost your top receiver from last year. Josh mentioned that you set the new record, or you tied the NFL record, most players with a receiving touchdown in the season. The old adage, great when a plan comes together. From your perspective, knowing what you needed this season, how does it feel when the plan comes together like that?
Yeah, if you had a crystal ball, right, as Brandon and I sit down with Terry before a season starts or in the spring, we're trying to figure out what it's going to look like, right? It's just a great job overall by Brandon, Terry, you know, the coaches, the personnel staff, everyone, trainers, weight room. I'm going to leave some out, but when everyone's on the same page and there's a similar connectiveness between the team, right? Just between department to department to department. You know, now we got Pete leading the business side over there, and you know, again, just that connectivity and amongst the organization is huge for us, and that's important.
John, acknowledging you have a lot of decisions to make this week, but philosophically, how much do you expect Josh to play against New England?
I haven't even gone there yet. I wrote down some notes last night, to be totally transparent with you, but I think there's more than that factors in here, right? And so we'll have to sit down, Brandon, Terry, myself, and talk about, again, what's best for this football team, the organization as a whole, and then it'll start when we get into the players, it'll start with Josh. And what's best for him.
Could I just ask a follow-up that, Sean, just in kind of a general, how much do you factor as you go through those discussions, you know, rest versus, say, rhythm, or, you know what I mean, from yeah, week to week and that sort of a thing?
Yeah, I mean, there's something to be said for both arguments, right, both sides of that. And You know, our team has gone into a bye, played well, come out of a bye, played well. So at the end of the day, we've got to look at everything, one of which is, you know, how healthy we are coming out of this game or not healthy. So getting guys back healthy is important.
Sean, who ultimately makes that final call? Is it you? I know you guys all get
together. We'll do it together. Yeah, we'll do it together. I mean, that's, you know, three heads are better than one, so it's a little bit of talking, a little bit of listening, and then just sharing what we feel is best for the team.
How much do you think Milano was helped by not playing last week and just
being reset? Yeah, I mean, he had that groin last week, and he looked good out there today, especially recovering that fumble. And, you know, very few know how far he's come with the journey he's been on. It's been a long road for him, and I think his best football is ahead of him. Certainly when he plays well, it helps our defense. So that's an important piece for us. All right, Happy New Year to everyone. God bless you.
Sean McDermott. Pete getting a mention. Pete Gwelly. Mentioned a lot of people. The Bills roll over the Jets. I keep saying roll. I'll do better. 40-14. Let's get you the Skyworks stats of the game. Brought to you by Skyworks Equipment Rental. Building America from the ground up. Josh Allen, 16-27. 182, two passing touchdowns in this game, and one rushing. Tyrell Shavers on the one play ends up leading the Bills in receiving yards. And I guess somebody's going to write probably that that's appropriate, given as came up more than once in the press conference, the whole plan for this season. Man, there are certain guys in the media that are just so on it when it comes to Diggs leaving. They can't move on. They just want to get Allen or McDermott or somebody to, and you know, they both kind of did. They must want to a little bit. Allen certainly did talk about that on some level, but isn't this more fun? Yes. Tyrell Shavers 1-69 in a touchdown. That was the top number for any Bills receiver today. Amari Cooper, 3 catches for 56 and a score. Keon Coleman, 3-27 and a score. Khalil Shakir, 3-25. Rushing, James Cook, I mean, it was there. Didn't really need a lot. Didn't catch a ball. 15-53 and a touchdown. When the Jets put their best quarterback in, they started to hum against the Bills' backups. Aaron Rodgers, 12-18, 112 and 2 picks. Tyrod Taylor, 11-14, 83 and 2 scores. Breece Hall, 10-45. The Jets, one of the things that people wonder about is the Bills' run defense. And there were times in this game early where it looked like the Jets could run on them, but they just can't do enough else. And so Bills get their points, and then it becomes a game script thing. Second half, shutout, and it's just over at that point. Garrett Wilson, how good is he? 7-66 and a touchdown. Tyler Conklin with the other touchdown. Aaron Rodgers, you know, gearing for that 500th touchdown pass, did not get it in this game, and I think that's one of the more satisfying aspects of it for the Bills. 40-14. We'll talk playoffs, as I started to do before the interview started, and look for your calls as well, 716-803-0550. Happy New Year. I'm Mike Shope. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego bricks.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's the snap. Blitz coming. They run a screen to Shavers. Cuts it back inside. Still on his feet. And through a hole. 50, 40, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Tyrell Shavers. Are you kidding me? He goes 69 yards for a touchdown in one of the most unlikely plays to go the distance we have seen this season.
I suppose that's right. Tyrell Shavers, everybody. If you know, you know. Get ready to jam him into your Week 18 DFS lineups. I'm Mike Shope. Welcome back. Bills postgame coverage. The Bills clinched the 2 seed in the AFC with an easy 40-14 win over the Jets. It might not have even been that close, but 40-0, and then the Jets put 2 touchdowns up in the fourth quarter. Sean McDermott has already spoken. His press conference brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com. McDermott, maybe more than once, got a question about what to do next week. Credit to one reporter for using the word philosophically earlier when asking him what to do next week. Didn't help too much. We'll find out, but I'd be very surprised if the obvious thing doesn't happen, which is many veterans, can't be all of them, but many, and anybody who's sort of iffy when it comes to injuries were to skip the game. Allen will probably start. He's got a streak going, and I would think he does, you know, a few plays and then leaves. But we'll find out. Bills at Patriots next Sunday. Probably, we don't know times yet either for next week necessarily. This will not be a Sunday night game. There's nothing on the line for either team. So the obvious guess is Sunday at 1, but that's not official. Getting connected with the fans, powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today, tomorrow, whenever you can. 716-803-0550. Couple calls here. We'll get another update in and then hang out here through next hour. Adam is on the show. Hi, Adam.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Thanks for taking my call. Happy
sure.
New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
So, you know, you said you want to talk about the playoffs. I think that's the right way to kind of talk at this point. With Denver, just kind of watching that game yesterday, I mean, what concerns you the most about them? Like, to me, the running game is middling, but, you know, obviously with the Bills, run defense is always kind of the question. Past game, you know, you got the rookie quarterback, so I think McDermott has solved those guys pretty good, and they're erratic. But I mean, other than like the pass rush, but again, since he's lying, was kind of, you know, a question mark. I mean, what concerned you the most going into that matchup in a couple of weeks? Again, likely going to be Denver, right?
That's
what we're thinking.
Yeah. Thanks, Adam. I think my answer probably would be that if they don't anymore, at least as of like last week, the Broncos lead the league in sacks. That's not a weakness of the Bills, though. Like, Allen gets out. They've been about the best in the league this year, if not the best, at preventing sacks. So I don't think it's a great matchup for Denver, but the Bills are not a great matchup for anybody. Right, they don't run it. The quarterback's mobile. He's a rookie. I am the type of fan that gets a little nervous when I think like this. I can't see them winning here in a playoff game with Bo Nix, but that, again, like, that itself scares me. The Broncos are the last team to beat the Bills here, though. Last year they did it with Russell Wilson, which I think is even more amazing, but the Bills have not lost a home game since, well, the playoffs, but in the regular season, they have not lost a home game since that Denver game. Yeah, so I'm pretty sure I'm right. I'm asking more than telling, but what I've got is Denver's it if they beat the Kansas City backups next week. which they'll be favored to do. Probably, what do you think, a touchdown favorite in that game? Like the Mahomes, Kelsey, they're going to sit. So that's, you know, if you want to play Denver, there you go. Like, that's good. What else could happen? Miami, with two wins and a Denver loss there, I think would be the team. Colts are out. Miami is playing now at Cleveland, and that game is 3-3 mid-second, so that's got to be fun. Late in the dark in Cleveland, the Dolphins and the Browns, 3-3. No Tua in that game today, so that's possible. And if the Broncos lose to the Chiefs and the Dolphins lose one, since he can sneak in by beating the Steelers next week, but they need that help, and that gets scary. Like, Cincinnati, for me, is still the team. It's been this way kind of all year since the Bills have been in this position. I can't get the Chargers to the 7. I can't get the Steelers to the 7, even though, well, the Chargers at least, if not both teams, could end up with enough losses. I can't get them there in my little playoff machine scenarios here today. Let's go to Craig next. Hi, Craig.
Hey, how are you guys
Good.
Doing today?
I'm fine.
Hey, listen, I just had a longevity question. We're a little off topic here, but, you know, Jim Kelly, I grew up in the 90s, and, you know, he stuck around. And I guess my important question is that Josh Allen has been such a great team player and such a local player. His presence here is kind of a community importance. And I just wondered, what do you think? I mean, clearly he's got a long time to go. You know, what do you think his options are for staying here and kind of becoming the next Jim Kelly for the longevity of the team and the support of it?
Well, I guess I don't know exactly what you mean, but, I mean, he's already an all-time great. How long does he play? Who knows? He's 28. I don't know that answer. Kelly was kind of old when he got here, and his career ran, what, 11 years? So Allen should be around a long time. I'd like to think so. I don't know. Is that a bit? Because last week somebody brought up, like, just aren't you worried about Allen wanting to leave the Bills? Was that last week? Maybe not, but I don't know that answer. You don't have to worry about it. My book shouldn't be something to concern yourself with, I think. Bills over the Jets, 40-14. On to week 18, a meaningless game for the Bills in the standings. They will be the 2 seed and at home again in wild card weekend. This is 5 years in a row. They'll play that first playoff game of the season at home. So we'll see what that looks like. The Broncos, maybe the Dolphins, maybe the Bengals, as we're discussing. Lines are open. Before we continue, let's give our affiliates 10 seconds here on the network to identify themselves. Again, the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
Sports Radio 550 WGR Buffalo and WKSE HD2 Niagara Falls Buffalo, 98.5 FM.
An Odyssey Sports Station.
Bills 40, Jets 14. We'll talk more about it as we continue here after a break. I'm Mike Shope. Thanks for listening. This is Buffalo Bills Football.
Back to pass, has time. Rolling to his right, trying to buy time. Heaves it back across the field, looking for Ty Johnson. And going up and pulling it down off the roof was Keon Coleman for the touchdown.
Josh Allen to Keon Coleman, a memorable play from this game. Eye on the Quarterback, brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Great Lakes Building Systems, our business is protecting your business. There are levels of Josh Allen plays where you go in some, you know, in so many words, OMG, I can't believe that was completed. That's one I really could not believe that was completed. They're kind of easy for me to say, right? But fooling around at that point, having just put on another touchdown, what does that make it, 33-0, that Coleman touchdown, that is correct. Cook had just scored like a minute earlier, and then there was a turnover after that. But that's one where it's the proverbial NBA 25-foot prayer that you're just like, no, yes. One of those. Allen made a play earlier in the game to Coleman where this was one, while amazing, as he's rolling out, I'm fully expecting it to be complete. So he's about to get sacked, maybe twice, and he's almost out of room, and he just heaves it. And you see on TV, there's a Bills receiver, I don't know who, where the pass is overthrown from him. Like, yeah. And then there's Coleman, and it hits him in the hands. And he doesn't catch the ball, but that's one of those we're so used to that with Allen. And, you know, didn't work out on that play, but I wasn't surprised that it really should have. This one, you know, TV, like, you can't really tell what's out there. And as you see the ball on the screen get into the end zone, there's like two jet guys, and you know, what is this going to be? And here comes Coleman, almost like the Bills, they're so much better than the Jets that, like, all right, this play is going to be, it's not really like this, but this play is going to be, let's show everybody how high Keon Coleman can jump. And, you know, maybe there is some accuracy in saying that. The Bills beat the Jets 40-14, week 18 at New England. Don't know the official start time yet. I'm not sure when we'll find out. Maybe before we're done, but probably tonight. That'll be who's playing on Saturday, and then also 1, 425, 8:15 on Sunday. Games will be moved into all these different areas. So we don't know that for sure, but they will not need the game at all. They are locked in as the 2 seed in the AFC, which means they will play either Denver, Miami, or Cincinnati, and a very good probability that it's the Broncos. It might be even like 90% with they're having the Chiefs next week in a game that the Chiefs don't need themselves. Sets up great for Denver, even with their loss yesterday. The Bengals need a Chiefs win there, and then for Miami to lose one of their final 2 games. Very different to me, whether it's the Broncos or the Bengals. I mean, like, world's different. And, you know, maybe that's wrong. They went to overtime playing each other yesterday. Let's get to your calls. 803-0550 is the number, 716 area code. Brian is next. Hello, Brian.
Hey, this is Brian from Rochester.
Yeah.
Hey, I just want to say, you know, first of all, huge fan, unbelievable fan. I just want to say, I just go back all the way to Monday night against Jacksonville. You know, I remember when the Bills had that huge win. You know, I was sitting there in the stands, loving it every minute. It was like, wow, are the Bills this good or is Jacksonville that bad? You know, I was kind of in between, but ever since then, you know, I feel like Allen, unbelievable, enough said, MVP. But I just want to get your take on just how surprised are you on how well the Bills have done this year. I mean, I feel like each week, you know, it's just unbelievable. We go into Detroit, we smash them, right? And just everything that's gone on since, I feel like we are the team. You know, I don't fear Kansas City. I don't fear Baltimore. I feel like the Bills are the team. And I just want to get your thoughts on that.
Okay. I appreciate this question. I'm pretty surprised. 13-3. Like, every year in the league, there is just a lot of stuff you can't predict. Injuries and, you know, bounces. Every year in the league, some team, you have 2 teams that are about as good as each other, but one has 11 wins and one has 6. Like, that is the league. I've thought for many years, the teams with the elite quarterback should never do any worse than the middle. And so I was not the most optimistic guy about this season. And saying that, we still don't really have the answer yet. What happens in the playoffs will be what we remember, just like every other one of these years. So that's still TBD. But I thought the Bills would struggle to win the AFC East. Every year, every team, even the biggest favorites, this has been annoying about the Chiefs and Travis Kelce in particular the last couple of years, because every team that wins still somehow carries around a vibe of nobody thought we would win. And so that you know, sometimes that's right and sometimes it's ridiculous. That came out in the press conferences today, and it's a little bit more fair than it might be for a team that's won its division for 5 years in a row now. Like, there was a little bit of that for the Bills. So I think what's probably accurate is to be impressed for sure, surprised by how the Bills have played, but more so by how the division has been in shambles, as was completely on display at the stadium today. I'm not, like, for me, the low point was 10 wins, and now it's 13. That's, I guess, necessarily surprising. But what they are as a team is not surprising at all, really. Like, who they are, how they play, They're playing exactly like they told us they intended to. Spreading the ball around. You know, the defense has been pretty, to say the least, again, trustworthy. So that's not surprising. I've said a lot recently, the one particular thing that's surprising about this season for me, outside, not including like how the Jets have played or the Dolphins, is James Cook having 15 rushing touchdowns, one off the franchise record. That I did not expect. And it's not because he's a bell cow. They divvy his role up, but he still has 15 rushing touchdowns with Allen being Allen. That's surprising to me on an individual level. Here is Colin next. Hi, Colin.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call. Happy New Year.
Happy
Love
New
the
Year.
Show.
Thank you.
You know, I live down here in Kentucky. My good buddy is a season ticket holder for the Bengals, huge Bengals fan. So I went with him to the Bengals game. I'm obviously a huge Bills fan, but, you know, wanted to watch the Bengals. And I just have so much respect for that team. I mean, Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase, T. Higgins. Bengals are so confident that they might have a chance. And so I'm thinking about it from the perspective of Kansas City. I mean, the Chiefs can end the Bengals season by not only resting the starters, but basically letting Denver win. And if you're Kansas City, I mean, do you want Cincinnati? I don't want to play them as a Bills fan, but do the Chiefs want them in? I mean, it seems like they would want to eliminate the Bengals from having a chance, because if the Bengals somehow got into the playoffs, went to Buffalo, beat us, they would go to Kansas City, whereas Kansas City right now seems to be looking at hosting either the Texans or the Steelers in round two. So
right.
What are your thoughts on, like,
well,
not only resting your starters, but ensuring that you don't win the game if you're Kansas City?
Very, very much like yours. I mean, a team is never going to go all in on intentionally losing, but they're going to use their advantage. And the fact that it sets up that way, I agree. Like that, they're going to love it if the Bengals get, I think the Bills should too, if the Bengals get, you know, frozen out, which probably is what will happen. But you never know in the NFL, like you get a couple of turnovers. Carson Wentz has played big games before. Maybe that goes the other way, which opens the door for Cincinnati. But yeah, I would think the same way if I were the Chiefs. The Chiefs could not have drawn better as the one. You know, if it's Denver or it's the Chargers that pull an upset in the first round, then so be it. If it's not, like just like the caller said, Houston, Pittsburgh, great. You know, they're very strong to make the AFC Championship, which they would host, and that'll be the Bills' problem or the Ravens' problem if either team gets that far. Bills over the Jets, 40-14. I'm Mike Shope. Thanks for listening. More of your calls coming up. This is Buffalo Bills football.
Allen under center on first, second, and goal from the one. The give is to Cook, and he's over the left side for a one-yard touchdown run as the Cook is in the kitchen.
James Cook, his 15th rushing touchdown of the season, matching Josh Allen's number from last year, and that is one off the franchise record of 16, OJ. So what do you think, guys? What does that mean for next week? James Cook get 12 touches in a meaningless game with the Patriots? Is that too many? What would it feel like if they lost him? That's the whole point of this, isn't it? To rest your most important guys. Is he one of them? Maybe he is. It's a great season. Wonder if how much that record would matter to the Bills here. That's what we've got. Week 18, the Bills have no relevance in the standings here at all. They will be the 2 seed in the AFC playoffs and host 2 weeks from either yesterday or today, almost definitely not the Monday night. Sal Capaccio has made the point that each year since the NFL has put in a Monday night game and that wild card weekend, it's been a 4-5 game. And the reason for that is you have the least chance of uncertainty in terms of like who would play that winner. If it's a 2-7 game like the Bills game will be, who wins that game affects multiple teams in the next round. And so the league has tried to minimize that, apparently, by having a 4-5 game be that Monday night game each week. 803-0550 for your calls. I'm Mike Shope. Thanks for listening. 40-14, the final today. Let's go to Carson next. Hi, Carson.
Oh, here it is.
Okay. Kevin next instead. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Shoop, man, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
13-3, man. That's how we do it, man. We playing Buffalo Bills football. Got a meaningless game next week. Play a few of our starters, keep them sharp. Let's get into this playoffs. What I don't like is a lot of guys in our fan base, how they talk about, oh, I don't want to play this guy. I don't want to play this guy. It don't matter who we play. You come to Buffalo, expect a smashdown. I mean, Buffalo, nobody expected us to be where we are. Nobody. Man, I'm glad for my team. I'm happy. Let's get this game out of the way. Let's get the playoffs on. Let's get down to some real Buffalo Bills football. Appreciate the call, Mike.
Thank you, Kevin. Who do you mean, Burrow? Probably, like, there's no chance another team would win. Well, good. Love the confidence. Here's Derek next. Hi, Derek.
Hey, fellas. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah.
I got two things. So I'm going to the game next weekend because I'm in Cape Cod. So I'm going to the game next weekend.
Me too.
As much as I would love to see – that's awesome. As much as I would love to see the status play, it's meaningless. I don't want to see any status play. It's fine. But – I want to go to a playoff game, so I need some advice. I got a five-month-year-old at home. Do I go to a divisional game or, let's say, a wild card game or an AFC championship game, knowing that I have a five-month, I need to go up with my wife, maybe someone to watch the kid? What would you do if you were in my shoes? Would you go to the wild card game or divisional game or AFC championship? Because I usually go to like one or two games a year, and I don't want to miss out on that.
You're taking a baby to a Bills playoff game?
No. I'm not taking the baby to the game. No, I'm bringing the mom so they could watch the baby.
Okay.
My wife and I go.
What's the question? Like, are you you're asking whether to risk their losing and not be able to go? Is that the question?
Exactly. Or do I just hold faith and just wait till, let's say, the divisional round or the AFC championship? So let's say divisional round or AFC championship. What would you do if you're in my shoes?
And I don't know, but what they've clinched is that if they win in the wild card round, they will be at home the second week, and that could be amazing. Like, that should be Baltimore, right? I mean, that is a titanic, incredible matchup between two teams that kind of live the same life, which is in Kansas City's shadow. Like, that would be an amazing game for it to be hyped. Next week, the wild card game, I mean, wouldn't be, but it's still the playoffs. And unless you get a Kansas City upset in the divisional round, you're not hosting the AFC Championship, so that's out. So I guess I would say round two, but I don't know. It's not a question I'd want to ask a total stranger, but that's okay. Today, so Miami is still alive, and they now lead 6-3 at Cleveland at half. It looks like nothing is happening in that Dolphins-Browns game. Just three field goals. Tyler Huntley starting today for the Dolphins in place of an injured Tua, and the Dolphins need to win to have a chance. The Bengals still have a chance, but it's all Denver's if they can beat the Kansas City backups next week. And if that happens, I think that means they're coming. I can't figure out another scenario where the Chargers would be the 7 or the Steelers, the two other teams with 6 losses. Houston doesn't count as the AFC South winner. So I think it's the Broncos in 2 weeks if they beat the Carson Wentz-led Chiefs. Thanks for the call, Derek. Maybe I'll see you next week. I don't know what to do now. I've been trying to construct a plan for more than a month to go to this game next week. And it's sort of based on, I have family there and friends there that are sort of, some of them are in on it, and sort of based on the fact that the game wouldn't be important, but now it's totally not important. And guess what else? A caller asked earlier, made the point earlier about how, like, he's saying, like, if I'm the Chiefs, I'd want to lose to Denver because that means Cincinnati's out and they're scarier to me and Denver's not. So, okay, I think that's reasonable. The Patriots today moved into the number one overall slot in the draft because the Giants won and the Raiders won. And I'm not sure the Raiders were in the spot, but I think they've won 2 in a row now, right? Didn't the Raiders win last week, too, against Jacksonville? But Raiders at 4-12. You've got 3 teams at 3-13. The Browns playing now at 3-12. and then five others at 4-12. And I think the Patriots are in the slot if everybody loses from here. So, I mean, they have a quarterback they like, I would think. But what would you do? I watched them yesterday, and May gets a head injury early in this game. I was shocked he went back in. You know, if he's fine, he's fine, I guess. Who knows with those things. But what incentive would the Patriots have to put Drake May back on the field after what might have been a second concussion this year? He does play. They lose big, 40-7 maybe yesterday to the Chargers. And now they have the Bills, you know, who don't need the game at all in Week 18. What would you do if you were New England? I think it'd be Jacoby Brissett if it were me. They wouldn't talk like that. Nobody ever does. You're not talking about wanting to lose on purpose, but you know, we just want to play it safe. He took a couple of shots yesterday. You could have Trubisky and Brissett in this game next week. Whoever starts it, we will have a post-game show, and that will be Bulldogs, because if everybody doesn't bail on the whole idea to go to this game because it's just irrelevant, then I will be there. 40-14, the Bills over the Jets today. I'm Mike Shope. More coming up. Still time for your calls, too. It's 716-803-0550. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rodgers back to pass. Blitz coming, and he's dropped for a safety. A.J. Epenesa beat the doors off Carter Warren, the backup left tackle, and dropped him for the safety.
Some great moments for the Bills defense in this game, that being one, Epenesa on the safety for 9-0, pretty much untouched on that play. I loved the pick too, Jordan Phillips. Rousseau is so good at getting his hands up. And that's, I think, these days, an important trait for an edge rusher to have, just because of all the passing in the league and just how important that can be. And so you get the tip there. Allen had a play in this game where he got hit very slightly, I think, on sort of like his right bicep or his side, and the ball kind of wobbled out, but that one fell incomplete, and this one with Jordan Phillips ended up being a pick. The Bills over the Jets today, 40-14, to improve to 13-3. If you're old enough to remember the days when 13-3 was like a final season record, good for you. That's most of us. I'm not old enough to know when, like, 11-3 would have been a final season record, but some of you are. Not bragging. Allen in this game, 16 for 27, 182, two touchdowns. Not gaudy stats. So the most valuable player discussion question came up in the press conference with Sean McDermott, if not also with Allen. I don't remember. But McDermott, you know, at every chance and even on a couple times on his own, lobbied for Allen to win it. He will. Like, I don't really think that that's so much a question. I'd be shocked if he didn't win. I thought he needed to not have a shocker today to win the award. And he didn't. But he also didn't have big numbers. McDermott took the usual predictable shot at statistics. You know, just like with any coach or any player, they're there when you want them. Later in the press conference, he referred to numbers. When it came to Allen's, whose numbers are great, by the way, anyway. He's like, oh, well, you know what I mean. I'm just winking at you. Stats are for losers. I don't think there's much to worry about here. Tony Romo on the broadcast said that he sort of equivocated on who he would vote for. He didn't really want to say. Ultimately, he got to Jackson has won twice, so Allen. And while I feel like that's not how it should be, I think that's probably how it will be, and I don't think that that's bad. You know, the whole year, going back to the spring or the summer, whenever we talked about the MVP, Lamar won last year for a second time, and it was like, there's no way he will win again. Mahomes would want to would get a third before Jackson gets a third. Allen, you know, whoever, Hurts, Goff, Purdy, someone else. Jackson's season has been so excellent that he has made that a conversation, but Allen hasn't given much, and he's been the favorite for many weeks. At this point, I don't think this game does him any damage, to say the least. It wasn't off the charts like a couple of his games have been, the Rams, the Lions, and he's also got the better record. And we know historically that that matters to some voters. That's why the odds reflect the team with the better record having the player with the better odds or the shorter odds, right? Because I think it's 10 years in a row that the MVP has been either a one seed or a two seed in the playoffs. And if Allen wins, which I believe he will, that will continue. That streak will continue. He won't play much at all next week. I bet he starts and then leaves. Maybe three plays, one series, that's it. And that won't work against him. Jackson will have a game that they'll want to win, the Ravens against the Browns, because the Steelers, with a win and a Ravens loss, would flip the AFC North. But I still doubt that against Cleveland, with especially like with Allen mostly sitting, that that would move the meter, really. I doubt that it would. So I think it's going to be Josh's award. 803-0550 for your calls. Let's go to Jack next. Hi, Jack.
Hey, guys. You know what? Just want to say great Bills win today. Go Bills. But you know what? Here's where I'm looking at it. I'm looking at next week. Great would be great. Want to see some of the starters play in. You know, obviously you want to get Allen in, let him get a start, let him get a series of downs done. You know, ideally get James Cook a touchdown. If you can get him the second one to beat the record and take that record from OJ, great. But you got to get him one to at least tie it. The man deserves it this year. He's worked his tail off for our team. But really when you look at it, team had a great season. Looking forward to the playoffs here. I mean, I'm not really afraid of playing any team in the playoffs here. I mean, the Bills have come on. We just got to get a little bit healthier. You know, hopefully get our guys rested for a little bit with next week's, you know, game on defense. But looking at it further from there, I mean, let's look at the MVP and see where we're at there. Let's look at the true MVP of the league this year. It's got to be Allen. I mean, let's take out the fact that Jackson's numbers are great because he has, you know, Henry running right behind him, who's, you know, an obvious threat. I mean, the man's he's a train wreck. I mean, if somebody took him out with a car, I think he'd be playing back again after the first quarter of the game, and the car driver would probably be at ECMC in critical condition. I mean, the man's just an animal.
You went pretty far with that.
You know, but, well, I mean, he is, but, you know, let's look at it.
You went as far as to name the hospital.
Absolutely, because I think it would only be a Bills fan that would attempt that.
Okay.
But
anyway,
But, you know, realistically, what I'm saying with it is that, you know, Allen is the true MVP. I mean, he made it with what they would consider a band of misfits at the beginning of the season and turned them all into an everybody eats. And he made receivers, you know, out of nobodies. And
well, who would that – like Hollins is who you're thinking of?
No, I mean, everybody. I mean, he put 40 points up a week, 30, 40 points
no,
a week.
No, but if you're saying he made nobodies into whatever you're saying about receivers, who do you mean? Like, Shakir wasn't a nobody. Amari Cooper has been great for a decade. Like, and, you know, he's not doing much here anyway. You're talking about Hollins. I think you'd have to be Hollins.
I mean, yeah, I guess if you're going to look at it from there, Hollins would be the man that came in. But, I mean, Hollins, realistically, anybody in the league, if I said I called him a nobody, my head's going to get chewed off for saying Hollins is a nobody. He's a proven receiver, but he wasn't in number one.
No, he wasn't a number three. He's never been a number three in his career, Jack. So
yes, and he made plays this year.
It's
that
your point.
You wouldn't expect.
Listen, it's your point. It's your point that Allen, you want to give him flowers for making nobodies, your word, into good. Who else would it be?
I think it's just the fact that he can have anybody come off a bench, no matter what position, no matter what number place they are as a receiver, and they can catch balls from him and make plays for him. I mean, that's really what I mean. It's anybody.
Okay, well, I mean, that's fine, but not that many. There's not that much of that happening. Hollins is the one, and I'm fine with that point. You know, it's just, it's worked out so far. The whole premise of spreading the ball around and everything, what's happened so far has been absolutely, realistically, the best case scenario. Cooper's not doing a lot. Kincaid has never done a lot in a single game this year. So, like, Cooper wasn't on the team for half the season, but Kincaid would have been like, okay, there's your number one production guy. That hasn't happened at all. Shakir, you know, pretty safe, reliable, but the ceiling is capped. You're 13-3, and Allen has had an MVP season with his rushing prowess still fully on display. It's been the best case scenario. That said, the whole thing was really never about the regular season. And that's, you know, now we're going to be on the tightrope, because with everything that we've felt and said for 16, 17 weeks, it all gets replaced by something else each of the next few weeks. This will be the referendum on the whole plan. Not the whole, because you can't assume a division title. The Bills could have assumed playoffs, though, right? I mean, that I would have. So it's not shocking that they're going to be in the playoffs or won the AFC East, but it's great. The whole idea, or most of the – I keep saying the whole. It's not the whole. It's most of the idea, most of the strategy in having elite receivers versus having a committee, if you will, comes down to playing the Chiefs, playing the Ravens, playing the Broncos and Sertan, like whatever. It's teams, the better teams that can prepare for you, that have watched a season's worth of film, that, you know, we'll see what – no offense, he's been fun and interesting and good. Mac Hollins is worth in the playoffs, right? Like that's what's going to matter here. And while I fully endorse and join you in celebrating what the season has been, it's still the preface for this Bills team, because they have been to the playoffs. Is this not 6 years in a row? They have hosted this first round 4 years in a row. This will be five. Then what? And so we'll see what that is. This is not an Allen point, because I don't doubt at all that Allen will be, you know, superb in these games. That's, I think, what you'd expect. But what does the rest of it look like? The Bills have been super healthy, durable, consistently good up front. And in against a Chris Jones or whatever, the Ravens or the Broncos have led the league in sacks, you know, that's got to keep happening, or else the year goes into the bucket with the rest of it. And that's tough racket, but that's the league, you know. So he will win the MVP almost definitely, I think. And then the playoffs, and then it's going to get to the point where it really matters. Thanks for your call, Jack. This is Mike Shope here. We'll get to the locker room. Amari Cooper coming up. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.